Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan. You are here listening to chapter two of our special three-part series where we're diving deeper into the insights from the Epicor's Voice of Essential Manufacturing Worker Report. In our previous episode, chapter one, we explored the day-to-day experiences of frontline manufacturing workers and their evolving challenges. Today, we'll be diving into the crucial topic of upskilling and new skill sets that are required in the industry to compete today and into tomorrow. All right, let's jump right in. Now, my next question is for Arturo. So worker engagement is crucial for the success of any manufacturing organization. We saw that throughout the report. Yet the report did highlight a slight decline in morale among frontline workers. 43% actually said that they plan to leave their job in the next year. How have you seen manufacturing leaders effectively prioritize worker feedback and maybe incorporate their concerns to address issues such as poor communication and low morale? I think that was a great example that Mark had just shared. Any other ways that you've seen maybe technology help address communication concerns?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I very much agree with what Mark is saying. And it's in line with what many of the leaders that I talk to that are users of our manufacturing products. It really is going back to basics. And it's cultural, right? It's really setting that culture of sharing feedback, right? Growing together. It also applies actually to any industry, not just manufacturing, right? Even software development is the same thing. We want to make sure that we have those open lines of communication and be as flat as possible. I think all helps with improving morale. Now, as far as technology, I mean, yeah, there's a number of ways, like obviously Mark was already highlighting, right? Using things that are already available to you, WhatsApp, WeChat, right? These things that are already available. I think us as ERP providers also have that focus. And we do that here at Epicor, which is connecting the shop floor to the top floor, kind of that term that's been used. And the idea being the more digital kind of tentacles that you can have going between both, the better that communication will be. And I think with the advent of AI, with some of the things that we're actually investing in, it will only make that easier and easier, right? To like actually talk to your ERP and that information flowing back to managers. So I think it's both a combination, because I think it is the cultural part is extremely important and you can't automate that. That's a very human thing. But I think what will happen now, especially in the next few years with the advent of AI, is some of the more repetitive tasks, right, will probably get automated. So, right, like this feedback flows in that Mark is saying, right, like being able to just take that in a very efficient, like AI way. So like maybe reading and comprehending is really part of maybe the AI, because a large language model can do that really well. And then actually creativity and thinking of the solutions, that's what humans do really well. So I think more and more we're going to see that. And I think that is what will kind of counteract that loss in morale, is really doing what humans do best, which is creativity.
Great points. Yeah, Mark, did you have anything that you wanted to respond to that? Because I think what Arturo was raising was pretty interesting. And I know that VEM tooling has a history of innovation. And you're also within the medical device industry, right? So there's also balancing innovation with compliance needs. Any initiatives that you put in place that you wanted to share to help foster a culture of open communication?
First of all, one comment to Arturo is I do agree that a lot of repetitive things will be automated. It has nothing to do with it, but I was this week in line for a Chipotle restaurant. And I was standing there and I said, you know what? We're waiting so long, but this is the perfect line to automate. You have so many people there serving here. I'm sure if I would have 2 months and a nice budget, I could completely automate that. That's a little bit off topic. Sorry for that one. So, yes.
No, it's true. I mean, we're going to see more and more of it, Mark.
Yes, it is coming. And at the same time, you have to make sure with your workers that they're not afraid of that. Because if Correct. They think, oh, you know, my job has no future because the company's going to automate that, that drives down morale even more. So you have to strike a balance here as the owner. Yeah. Anyway, going back to what we do is, first of all, we try to get more ownership from our workers, but at the same time, we're going to reward that. For example, we have productivity bonuses. If you reach certain goals, then of course you get rewarded for that because you help the company. We also have rewards for suggestions how to improve processes in the factory. I give out a few hundred to a few thousand dollars every month for some of my workers who come up with ideas how we can improve production process. Because again, those are the guys who do it. And then if we do a company party and I like to make some barbecues with my guys a couple of months when I'm there in the factories, that's how you get the guys on board. And I can tell you that proud face when they say, hey, I got $500 because I helped to improve this, this, this. I think things like that go a long way. Important is to listen to the guys and also to take them seriously. Sometimes they have different ideas. And if you tell them, hey, I like your idea, but because of this and this and this reason, we cannot do it. They have no issues with this. They understand not everything can be done, but you need to give them a feedback. You need to get involved. You need to show them that you listen to them and take them seriously. We try to do this as much as possible. And then, of course, I try to keep my guys involved if new things are happening. For example, if we want to automate something, if we're working on a new software, tell them up front why we're going to do it and ask them to help and join. And if you talk to them, if you take them serious, if you listen to them, even if you take one of the guys on the side as the owner and talk with him outside the office 5 minutes or say, hey, why don't you walk me through the factory and show me? That shows them that they are part of it. And that is actually very easy to do, costs me 5 minutes, but goes a long way.
And that matters and has a big impact. And so actually speaking, bringing your workers along the journey, I wanted to talk with you all about upskilling and creating new skill sets among the workforce, because our survey revealed while 70% of respondents believe their company is making upskilling a priority, the percentage had actually slightly decreased compared to last year's report, which I think is really interesting because we do want to continue to see, especially we know that we need additional and new skills among our workforce in order to take our organizations into the future. So maybe Arturo, you can get us started here. What challenges do you think are contributing to this decline in prioritization? I mean, I guess, as Mark was saying, there are just so many things that need to be prioritized. But when it comes to upskilling and building new skill sets, what steps do you recommend that manufacturing leaders could take in order to revisit and potentially reinvigorate their focus on upskilling initiatives, again, to help really meet the demands of the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back, really, it's tied to what Mark is saying too, which is, it's very much cultural, right? And it's a human thing. Again, I don't know that you can solve that with technology. Yes, we can have like super cool tools that, hey, you can take a quiz and like it'll up, like there's a ton of different technological ways to do that. But I think what's important to Mark's point is listening, right? And spending time with the guys that really know what's happening day to day at the factory floor. So I think that's really where it's almost like a basic thing. Like it's very easy to say, but I think that cultural shift is really important to make workers feel like they're actually empowered. Now, as to like why it's happening, right? To Mark's point, I don't know. I think it's a combination of cultural. I think COVID, obviously at some point we got to stop pointing back at COVID, right? But it didn't help, right? With the supply chain pressures and everything. I think a lot of manufacturers felt that very heavily. And it didn't help those priorities. Suddenly everything's on fire, right? And you have to execute. So I don't think that helped. But I think now coming out of that, now a couple of years, I think we have that opportunity of culturally shifting. And then two, there's a ton of tools that are coming out, especially the things that we're building at Epicor, right? That can really help with that problem, right? Or at least alleviating it or start heading down that path.
Yeah, that's a great point because like you said, it is such a human thing. So Mark, when it comes to upskilling initiatives, first of all, I think it's great that you're rewarding employees who come with new ideas. When it comes to executing on new innovative ideas, how do you ensure that your team has the skills, that your workforce has the skills needed for now and into the future?
Yeah. So while we're speaking, actually I have two of my staff in the air going to another factory. We have set up a little system that we want to share best practice and then have our good guys train the guys we want to get to the same level. And I give you two examples of what we're doing right now. One of my best PMs I ever had, Alan out of China, he's flying right now into Mexico to stay 2 weeks with the Mexican PM team, which is relatively new, and will share with them best practice, works with them, trains with them, makes sure they all follow the same standards and helps them with their headaches. And that's the one thing we do. And then we have a new software, which we're using in all the groups, but the Mexican team is the most advanced. So I use my Mexican team leader And he's, while we speak, in the air going to Bulgaria to spend 3 weeks in Bulgaria to get the Bulgarian team up. So we like to do this in the group. Technically, I could also hire, but I found out that my leaders are much more motivated if they can get a trip to a foreign country inside the group and help to work with their colleagues. And then, of course, you know it yourself. It's the same when I go out with customers. Once you drank a beer together and you have an issue and you give the guy a call, it's a much different feeling because you spent a few hours together. You can put a face to a name. And we want to do this in the company too. So I have more and more of my leader teams or the good guys who work with the other teams we want to bring up to the same skill and have them in the company travel. And that, I think, works for both sides.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
A big thank you to our guests for sharing their valuable insights on the manufacturing industry. And listeners, you can access the full Voice of Essential Worker in Manufacturing report by following the link provided in our show notes. Thank you all for joining us today. If you found this episode informative, don't forget to subscribe, rate, leave us a review. Your feedback helps us reach more manufacturing leaders and continue delivering valuable content. And to everyone listening, thank you for being a part of the future of manufacturing.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.